Daily trauma of human suffering and loss of life is at significant levels as we experience a global pandemic with the added trauma of violent riots and tragic murders. During this pandemic, the call to isolate has caused many to grieve of the way life used to be, trying to make sense of the so-called new norms with no real end in sight. The national death toll has now exceeded 100,000 lives due to the coronavirus. In today's Take 5 podcast, we're going to explore compassion fatigue. What is it? Are you suffering from it? And 5 tools to conquer and prevent it. Hello, I am Lori Ciccarelli-Stotko, Leadership Specialist and Spiritual Director for Transforming Lives Advocacy. Let's begin with, what is compassion fatigue and are you experiencing it? Compassion fatigue is often defined as a general state of physical and emotional exhaustion caused by continued exposure to other people's trauma. It has been described as the cost of caring for others in emotional and physical pain. It is characterized by a pronounced change in the helper's ability to feel empathy for their patients, loved ones, coworkers, or clients. Basically, our compassion is fatigued. Compassion fatigue was most commonly seen in first responders, military personnel, pastors, healthcare, and human service workers, those on the front line, helping others that are suffering from traumatic events. However, today, I believe we are all suffering from compassion fatigue at some level due to living in a time when we are inundated with graphic stories of despair and death instantly at our fingertips through social media and the internet, in addition to the current state of our world and nation. Dr. Max Licato, author of Anxious for Nothing, says, children today experience the same anxiety levels as the average psych patient in the 1950s. Compassion fatigue can trigger a loss of self that occurs on all levels of functioning, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, says Dr. Oshberg, author of When Helping Hurts. And it can transform into secondary traumatic stress, which is taking on the pain and suffering of those we serve, or according to research, can transform into stress-related illnesses like high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, suppression of the immune system, ulcers, or other gastrointestinal problems. Would you believe that 75 to 90% of all physician office visits are for stress-related ailments and complaints? Here are some signs and symptoms of compassion fatigue, depression, and PTSD. Loss of self-worth, loss of hope and meaning or purpose, disconnected, a drop in energy, pessimism, isolating self, difficulty concentrating, behavior and judgment impaired, cognitive ability decreases, nervous system arousal like sleep disturbances, loss of appetite. Burnout is a symptom and is caused by chronic stress. What is stress? Scientists say that stress is a force or event that impairs normal stability, balance, or functioning. Burnout is being called a hidden crisis, a dangerous public health epidemic. It can sneak up on us, compounded over time. This is where it gets away from us and can be paralyzing. If day-to-day functioning is impaired, seek professional support. This is when it can really be dangerous, and I want to encourage you to seek professional counseling. So what happens physiologically? Stress raises adrenaline levels, putting us in that fight, flight, or freeze mode. We are in a state of high alert. Would you believe that every time our phone pings, we are in a state of high alert? It raises adrenaline and puts us in that fight or flight stress response. However, there is some good news. The impact that stress has on our lives is not determined by the exposure to stress, but our response to it. It can be managed. It all comes down to our coping style. Compassion fatigue is a treatable problem, providing we recognize the signs and symptoms early and the level of intervention appropriate to the level of compassion fatigue. We all have stress, but it's how we manage ourselves that makes the difference. We need to focus on self-compassion with self-care practices, learning to unplug. However, it's tricky as many feel guilty or think they're being selfish for taking extra time out of busy schedules for self-care. It requires healthy balance emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically. Where can I cut back? Or what things can I add? It's about boundary setting. Do you need to make life changes by making health and wellness a priority? Integrating mind, body, and soul care is a holistic approach to well-being, supporting a healthy quality of life. There are some daily steps we can take to conquer compassion fatigue or prevent it. We're going to start with an exercise of self-awareness, self-discovery, by looking at our own personal life-sustaining resources, our tree of life. This is an exercise created by St. Elizabeth's Regional Medical Center in Lincoln, Nebraska. Draw a tree with 5 apples in it. Draw 5 flowers beneath the tree. Now draw 5 roots for the tree. Write your name on the trunk. You are the trunk of your tree of life. Now in your apples, write who is significant in your life, the apples of your eye. Since self-care is about setting boundaries, think about those who feed your energy and those who drain it. What brings beauty to your life? These are your flowers. What re-energizes you, rejuvenates you? What feeds your soul? Write in your flowers what brings beauty to your life. Maybe it's drinking coffee first thing in the morning in the quietness of your home. Maybe it's gardening, skiing, running, a walk during a break, a foot rub or a massage, listening to music, meditation, reading the Bible and praying. Maybe it's horseback riding, dancing, playing board games. Did you know that reading a book decreases stress levels by 68%? Now let's focus on your roots. It's really important that we have support systems, those we connect with, supportive communities. Where do you find connectedness? Where do you find community? Church? Service clubs? Groups organized around activities like sports or a book club? Think about where you find supportive communities. Now, we're going to look at 5 effective tools to battle and prevent compassion fatigue. We give and give and give, and then we're burned out, and we have nothing more to give. We are exhausted, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and physically. Again, our compassion has become fatigued. Let's create a self-compassion toolkit designed around your tree of life resources to battle and prevent compassion fatigue and burnout. My compassion fatigue class is typically 1.5 hours, but for today's purposes, I'm going to abbreviate it with these quick take 5 areas focused on self-care in order to replenish, and they are all interchangeable. Here are the five: physical self-care, emotional self-care, spiritual self-care, social self-care, and mental self-care. So let's begin with the first take five, physical self-care. We all know this. We need to eat well-balanced meals, get plenty of sleep, about 7 to 9 hours a night, drink plenty of water, exercise daily, at least 30 minutes a day, as it will boost endorphins released into the brain. That's the body's natural feel-good chemical. It promotes an overall sense of well-being. And get direct sunlight. It will boost serotonin, another common neurotransmitter, best known as the happiness chemical, one that antidepressant medications primarily address. Get out in nature. It's a well-known stress buster. The second take five is emotional self-care. Battle anxiety by staying present. I've heard it said that if you are depressed, you are living in the past. If you are anxious, you are living in the future. However, if you are at peace, you are living in the present. We tend to ruminate on past hurts or mistakes or worry about the future. But if we can stay present, all anxiety goes away. One easy way to bring ourselves back to the present is by focusing on our breathing. It anchors us and lowers anxiety. It also activates the relaxation response. When we are present, we are attuned to all of our senses. Here is another way to overcome anxiety by relying on your senses. It's a grounding practice called 5-4-3-2-1. Look around at your surroundings and identify five things you can see in the moment and say, I see whatever it is. Like, I see a beautiful orange butterfly. I see a red car passing by. Or I see a large green pine tree. Next, identify four things you can hear and say, I hear whatever it is. Like, I hear a rumbling train coming down the tracks. I hear a bird chirping in a tree. I hear a dog barking in the distance. Next, say three things you can feel, then two things you can smell, and one thing you can taste in the same format. Bringing attention to our senses grounds us in the present, and counting the items helps redirect scattered, anxious thoughts. The third tip is spiritual self-care. Daily practice the pause. By taking breaks for restoration, it will recharge you. What feeds your soul? Look at your flowers in your Tree of Life drawing. Where do you find beauty? Is it reading, dancing, gardening, watching movies, singing, cooking, hiking? For me, it's my God time, first thing in the morning, praying and reading the Bible. Lean into your hobbies. Take a couple of breaks throughout the day to smell the flowers. Even a brisk walk will activate endorphins. As you practice the pause, focus on gratitude. A heart of gratitude brings joy and peace. And studies show that subjects who wrote down one thing for which they were grateful for every day reported being 25% happier. Gratitude can rewire our brains, calming our nervous system, and counter that fight or flight stress response. It can improve sleep and reduce stress hormones. Social self-care is the fourth tip. We are living in an age of loneliness, an invisible epidemic affecting 60 million Americans, which I believe is increasing dramatically during this pandemic. What is the first thing done to prisoners of war? They are placed in isolation. solitary confinement as it breaks down the soul that leads to depression and anxiety. We were created with a relational identity, so we crave connectedness, community. Studies show loneliness increases the risk of premature mortality by 26%. It is emerging as a public health problem, and according to recent studies, loneliness triggers that fight or flight stress response. Symptoms include interrupted sleep, depression, higher levels of the stress hormone cortisol, and increased blood pressure. Reach out. Focus on your apples in your tree of life. Connect. Also, look at your tree's roots, your communities and networks. If you don't have any communities, grow your roots. Gather together, of course, when we are allowed, to commune around something social like a meal or a hike or just hanging out at the beach. Nurture relationships because our need to connect is as fundamental as our need for food and water. Also, think about serving and volunteering. It decreases depression and anxiety as it provides a sense of purpose. And we all need purpose to thrive. Think about your flowers and your roots. It can spark an area to serve. And now the last, the fifth take five tip is mental self-care, focused on laughter. You've heard it said that laughter is the best medicine. Well, there's actually some truth to this, as it is a potent endorphin releaser and activates the neurotransmitter serotonin, the happiness chemical. It decreases stress hormones like cortisol and increases immune cells and infection-fighting antibodies, thus improving our resistance to disease. And according to the Mayo Clinic, laughter can stimulate many organs by enhancing our intake of oxygen-rich air. It stimulates circulation and aids in muscle relaxation, which can help reduce some of those physical symptoms of stress. So spend time with family and friends and laugh, tell a funny joke, or watch a funny movie. For those of you who would like to take it a step further, digging deeper with a biblical spiritual practice, look for my podcast on Mary and Martha. Was Martha experiencing compassion fatigue? I walk you through an ancient spiritual practice called Ignatian contemplation, meeting God through story. In closing, remember, the impact that stress has on our lives is not determined by the exposure to stress, but our response to it. It can be managed. It all comes down to our coping style. Remember, the take five self-care practices of physical self-care, emotional self-care, spiritual self-care, social self-care, and mental self-care. Compassion fatigue is a treatable problem, providing we recognize the signs and symptoms early and the level of intervention needed appropriate to the level of compassion fatigue. Take time for self-compassion, self-care practices, as we need healthy balance to combat compassion fatigue and burnout. Wishing you good health and happiness and self-compassion, I am Lori Ciccarelli-Stotko signing off. Join me for more Take 5 to Inspire podcasts at transforminglivesadvocacy.com.